before Harry and Lord Fieldwork in Yugoslavia, people didn't know that the Iliad and Odyssey were composed orally. I know it seems amazing, but they didn't. And they were always wondered and had lots of explanations for why you would repeat lines and half lines and whole themes over and over again. But they knew that it was traditional. They didn't know that it was oral. So that was really the most significant thing about Perry and Lord. I mean, you realize that was only in the 30s. Think of how many centuries people, you know, have been reading Homer and loving Homer and just not realizing one of the most important things about it. And as I was saying before, it's built up of formulaic building blocks. And the smallest block is an epithet, so like swift-footed Achilles. And the largest block would be a type scene, like a feast, or what's another example? Mostly feasts or other things that you see, but you know, there's whole scenes that are somewhat formulaic that you can use as a building block.
Something like a death scene. Mm-hmm. And I hear a lot of like piercing about the
Yes. And the poet has those so hardwired in his head that he can do one of those scenes, he can be singing and performing one of those scenes while he's already looking ahead to what he's going to be singing next. So that's sort of the value of having things like this. But what's amazing, what's sort of hard for people like us who are so into books and things like that to imagine is that every single word is formulaic. And it's not original, because every song is a new composition. Every song is a re-putting together of different lines and half lines and parts of verses and whole verses. But all of it's traditional, all of it's formulaic, and it's just what the poets inherited from a tradition that lasted for thousands of years. And since we've been dealing so much with micro and macro narratives, I just wanted to point out that it is really amazing that this very sophisticated tradition was able to make these micro narratives that had so many messages for the macro narratives. But they also served another purpose as well, because one of the most important techniques of oral composition is expansion and compression. So depending on what your audience's mood is, or what your plans are for the night, or whatever, you know, what they want to hear about that night, you can expand or compress a narrative as short or as long as you want. So the Meleager story could be theoretically expanded to an epic as long as the Iliad, and theoretically the Iliad could be compressed into a story as short as the Meleager story. And they had this whole continuum of stories about Troy, the return of the heroes, about other heroes not even connected with Troy, which they called the cycle of epic poetry. And later Greek, when I say later, I mean already by like the 5th century BC, classical time, Professor Nash talked a little bit about this in lecture, but they would attribute all of epic poetry to Homer. They would say that Homer invented epic poetry and that he wrote all of it. And they would even say wrote, probably, even though there wouldn't be writing in the conception of poetry. And this is actually a very common phenomenon, because we attributed the invention of everything to a single great inventor. So there was one person who invented writing, and there was one person who invented farming, and there was like the city of Athens was not like did not grow over time. There was one person who founded and made the city of Athens. You know what I'm saying? It's just sort of like they had these culture heroes, is really what we call it, where they had sort of mythological founders and inventors for things. And so it's not so unusual that they would think of all of epic poetry as being invented and created by one person. But you might be curious or just confused as to what kind of time periods we're talking about here for oral poetry versus tragedy, written poetry, things like that. And this is not anything you need to know for the class, but if you're curious, the Bronze Age in Greece, which is you know, a time when there was kings and pharaohs as well, and use of bronze, obviously, and things like that, is where we can trace back a lot of the themes and the language and even some of the material culture of the poems. So we think that, or I think I should say maybe that the poems were being performed, or some kind of epic poetry that was being performed already in the Bronze Age in Greece. And some of the themes are so old that they are pre-Bronze Age. They go back to Indo-European, you know, traditions that are, that you can be showed, that you can show are older even than the language of Greek. So, so that's old. But, well, for the Bronze Age, about 3000 BC to about 1200 BC. I don't want to be too specific, but then, you know, epic poetry continued to be performed, and at some point, the Iliad and Odyssey had to come together into fairly fixed entities that we have them now, as we have them now. And they started to be fixed poems probably around 800 BC. And then, or you know, there's major debate about this, so I don't want to be, like I said, too specific, but around 800 BC, which is a completely different time period in Greece. It's called the Iron Age, Archaic Greece, different things. But this is no longer the Bronze Age. There's been definitely some sort of break. There's continuity with the Bronze Age, but that there's been a major break, and there was a Dark Age time. We don't have any literature, we don't have anything, we don't have any kind of writing, we don't have anything. And then there's, we move from Archaic Greece to Classical Times, which is usually, Classical Times is usually defined as starting around 480 BC, which is after the Persian Wars, and going to maybe the death of Alexander. Or you could say to the death of Socrates maybe in 399. But I mean, anyway, those aren't dates. I don't want you to like memorize these dates or anything like that. But when I just want you to know that when we're dealing with tragedy, as we will, as we're about to, or when we start to read Herodotus, that's a very different time period than Archaic Greece. Oh, also I should say that the Iliad and Odyssey are not representative of any one single time. What's amazing about them is that since they are at the end of a long tradition, they contain elements of things thousands of years old, but also things as recent as 800 BC, you know. So it inherits the whole thing, so you can't pin it down. You can't pin the political or social institutions down to any one time or place. You can't even pin the language down, because it has some very old language, some very new language. That's a pretty interesting thing. But when we get to tragedy, you can pin that down to classical Greece, that to 5th century BC, is when Euripides and Sophocles and Aeschylus were writing their tragedies that we'll be reading today. Hope that helps you feel like you have